Thank you, thank you. What a privilege to be here, an honor to be in front of you. Good morning to all. God bless you.
I'm happy out still.
Yeah, help me out, help
there
me
you
out.
Go, I got you.
I need all the help I can get, believe me.
We're making it work. There we go.
That's right, man. Thank you. Oh, yeah, I can hear myself now. You know, with the time of, with the change of time, I was hoping that the church would be empty today. not so. I'm grateful for that, too. Yeah. But, this morning, we're continuing with the book of Ecclesiastes. What's the point, right? And, you know, as I was worshiping, I mean, God is beautiful songs, right? God's the faithfulness of God, you know? He's with us in the highs and in the lows, right? And how true that is and how applicable that is for today's talk. You know, we're going to talk about Solomon in chapter 10 today is talking about the pitfalls of foolishness, you know. And, you know, I graduated from the University of Foolishness with high honors. Throughout my life, man, I can tell you stories, right? But God is faithful. God is faithful and forgiving, you know. And he renews us and he redirects us, right? And that's what we're going to see today. So my title is the most important thing. If you don't get anything out, just get this. Wisdom is demonstrated when we decide to live God's ways. Amen. Instead of our way.
That's right.
Right? And wisdom is better than foolishness.
Yes.
It definitely is. You know, I am 66 years old, and I can tell you that I've tried foolishness.
Yes.
And it didn't go well for me. You know, I tried it intentionally throughout my life. Before Christ, and even after Christ, you know, and it doesn't pay. And Solomon is talking to us about that today in chapter 10, okay? So if you've been following this series, you have probably noticed by now that Solomon has been conducting this sort of experiment, right, in life. What works in life? What does money work? Like Anthony was talking about, right? Money is not the answer, right? It's possession, material possession. Nothing worked. So he's been conducting all these experiments, and he's posing this premise, this question, you know? What meaning does this life have? Is this life is all there is? That's basically what he's saying, right? What's the point? What is the point? Right? If this is it, you know, and you know how hard life is, right? We all know that. Life is full of heartaches. I look back at my life and I think that, you know, the moments when you are really, really happy and you have everything and everything is going well are far in between, really. You know, life is a series of crisis after crisis after crisis. And, you know, how can we not need God?
Amen.
We need God. We need God to get us through, right?
Amen.
So he has been using the phrase under the sun. We all are familiar with that, right, by now. He's talking about things that happen under the sun, meaning that he uses that 27 times throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, the same phrase, under the sun, meaning that he's looking at life in the here and now, without taking into consideration eternity. But now in chapter 10, to use the analogy of a boat, he's been steering the boat all these chapters before chapter 10 in different directions, giving us different type of wisdom. But now he's focusing on land. Right, he's redirecting this boat towards land, and he's beginning to give us some wisdom, but with the outlook on eternity. What's important, right? What is important? So as we go through this chapter, be mindful of the main idea. Choose wisdom over foolishness. That's what Solomon is trying to do today. But to do that, we can only do it if we decide to put our will aside and let God will rule our life. You know? And as humans, let me tell you, we are so tempted to take care of ourselves, right? To take control without really pausing and just asking God, what do you think? How should I proceed? Right. I'm sure that you know people, many people, us included, all of us, that have been at one point said foolish things, right? Acting in foolish ways. I've done that many times. Many, many of times. We have all experienced situations like that. But, you know, we live in a world, and I don't have to go too far, you know, to show you that. But any of us can just look around the world, look around our country, look around our city to see the things that are happening in this world today. Persecution, hate, all type of things, right? Yes. So there is a great need for us to get the wisdom of God. Amen. We cannot go a day without it, right? I love the verse that Anthony recited today. I mean, we need that dependency of God every single day. We desperately need that wisdom. I was thinking about, you know, situations where we need God's wisdom. And for some reason, road rage came to mind. Man, you know how many people have died because of that?
Yes.
Or injured? And that's an act, a reaction, you know? Would you say that would be an unwise thing to do? Course. And I don't know about women, but men, I think we are particularly susceptible to that, you know. And I analyzed that, you know, and I came to the conclusion that it's pride. It is pride, you know, that doesn't allow us to let the other guy cut us in, you know. I mean, we get angry, right? But, you know, believe me, age changes you. And God does too. Now I just pull to the side and I turn the other way, you know, and I let the guy go by, you know. But wisdom, you know, that's what wisdom. And Jesus referred to that in Matthew chapter 24. He talks about builders, the two builders, remember? A wise builder and a fool one, right? Build the house. The wise man, he says, build the house on the rock, solid foundation. And the other builder built it on sand. The storm came, the wind blew, and what happened? Right. Only the house of the wise men stood up the storm, right? And that's what we're going to read today. So let's go to chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes. And let's read. I'm going to read from chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. Wisdom is better than foolishness, folly, it's called here. Verse 1, as dead flies give perfume, a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how foolish he is. If a ruler arises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great errors to rest. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Verse 6, fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupies the low ones. I have seen slaves on horsebacks, while princes go on foot like slaves. Whoever digs a pit may fall in it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever split logs may be endangered by them. And verse 10 reads like this. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. We're going to stop there. So my first point is our actions have consequences. Don't you agree with that?
Yes, amen.
Good actions likely will have good consequences, but bad actions, probably negative consequences, right? Verse 1 reads, as dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. You know, I love the way Solomon writes in a poetic style. Like if you're reading a proverb, right? It's almost times like a puzzle, you know, like a riddle that you have to decipher, right? The meaning of it. And you know, a dead fly gives perfume a bad smell. What do you think a fly represents? Nothing good, right? Not necessarily. A fly might represent compromise in our lives, unwise talk, yes. Lack of discipline, yes. The smell of sin. You know that sin smells?
Yes.
I smell it in my own life. Mm-hmm. You know? Perfume, on the other hand, what does perfume represent? How about integrity, right? How about commitment to the word of God? Discipline, good reputation. You can spend a whole life being careful about your good reputation just to be destroyed by one foolish act. Isn't that the truth? I mean, it's scary, and it's also almost unfair, you know? And we have seen people in our society, around the world and here, you know, great pastors, politicians, you know, that have been of good character. And all of a sudden, with one action, they're destroyed,
yes.
Right? Their reputation is destroyed. Well, that's what Solomon is telling us today, that our actions have consequences. And we all, you know, thank God for forgiveness, right? His goodness. He can restore us. He can restore me. You know, I have, you know, acted improperly many times in my life. But God, in his goodness, has given us another chance, right? And we all have stench, right? We all have that smell. Moments that we're not proud of. But Solomon is telling us, choose God's wisdom. You know, choose God's wisdom. You know, you can't go wrong like that. And it's just like a fly on your drink. You know, when you're waiting for that drink, they bring you that drink, right? And you're about to drink it. Oops! You see that fly there. It ruins everything, right? Same thing with your meal, right? You're waiting for that plate, that dish, that Greek food that you like so much. And then you're about to take that bite, and you see that big old hair there. Ooh, baby. It ruins it, right? Our reputation is ruined that way, too, if we're not careful. But, you know, depending on what country you come from and how hungry you are, I might be tempted to take a bite, just pull that hair off, and whoop. But, yeah, you know, that's what foolishness does, you know. It has consequences. It has consequences, right? Pride is opposite to wisdom. And you know, in my life, I have experienced that the many times that I have acted foolishly, a good portion of that has been because of my pride. You know, I have said things to family members that I regret. I remember one time I offended my mom, you know, out of all people, you know. I didn't say any bad words or anything, but I raised my voice. We had an argument because, you know, a long story, you know. We have bought a building with a relative, a brother-in-law. Never go in business with family, okay?
Yes.
Let me tell you. especially when money is involved. And you know, I mean, we started having problems in the building, and decided to sell the building, and there was a conflict about the money, how it was going to be split and everything. My mom took the side of my brother-in-law. Oh man, that, oof, I blew, you know, my cap. I got so angry, and I you know, in my desire to bring my mom to the side, I just raised my voice. And you know, in our culture, you don't do that. You know, even if your parents are wrong, you just respect them, you know. Amen. Yeah, yeah. And I did that, and I stormed out of the room, and I left the apartment. And on my way home, you know, right away, the Holy Spirit, I was a Christian already, mind you. But immediately, the Holy Spirit just started dealing with me, you know. I remember not sleeping that night, you know, because of the guilt. And I couldn't wait for morning to come back, you know, and apologize to my mom. And I did. And my mom, so gracious, you know, like never happened, right? So, yeah, I mean, I've been guilty of that, of being foolish, of not waiting on God, of not seeking God's wisdom before I open my mouth. You know, Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name, it's better than perfume. Isn't that the truth? I mean, you can have everything you have, but if you're a nasty person, if you're a mean person, it's worthless, right? You died alone. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name, it's more desirable than great riches. Okay. So how do we apply this today? What Solomon is telling us, right? How do we keep a good testimony? How do we do that? How do we spend our time better for God, right? I mean, these are actions that as Christians we need to think of. You know, how do we spend our time, our resources? So Solomon is saying, be mindful of God's presence, right, in your life, at every time, at every moment. That's one way of doing it, right? Keep close to God. Have reverence for him. You know, sometimes we think that, especially if we've been Christians for a long time, we tend to think that, hey, you know, I know God is with me, but everything, but we still do things like if he's not there with us. But God is present every moment, right? And if we get into the habit of acknowledging that, you know, that would redirect us. When we're thinking about taking actions that will have negative consequences. Amen. So my second point, it talks about patience, right? Solomon, again, is giving us all these warnings, right, about the pitfalls of foolishness. I call them landmines because they're truly, sometimes we think that, you know, that road is safe, but it's not. You step on that landmine, man, and you know, you lose a lot. You lose a lot because of foolishness. So my point number two is patience under pressure. Stay steady when facing foolishness. Yikes. That's hard to do. You know? This world is full of foolishness. It's not coming from me, coming from around me. Right? This is another landmine to avoid. Verse 4 and 6, from 4 to 6 reads like this. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great errors. Wow. So let me ask you this. What's one way of responding calmly when dealing with an irrational person? An authoritarian figure. How do you react? Not good, right? Who reacts calmly when your boss is calling on you and calling your attention or being reprimanded. Or is it easy to do? Not really, right? In practical life, it's not really. Our human nature is to react, right? To defend ourselves. In life, we face pressures. How do we respond to them can make a huge difference, right? A helpful application of wisdom is what we see here in verse 4. We should not be quick to defend ourselves or snap when someone takes issue with us. How good are you at not doing that or doing that? It's hard to do. It's hard to do. I remember one occasion I was working for. I was young, of course. I worked for a company where we used to make television sets. And I remember being reprimanded by my boss once. You know, they had sent me to a different department. They were packing, you know, television sets in big boxes. And they had to put a number of labels on the boxes. It turned out to be that one of the labels was missing. Someone forgot to put that label on the boxes, right? And my boss thought it was me, my fault. And man, he came down on me like, "Whoo, baby." He went to town with me. And you know, I was just, I was a Christian already, a young Christian. Thank God for that, because that was the only way that I can explain what happened to me that day. You know, I just stood and just listened to him. I just, like they say, I had to bite the bullet, you know? And this guy was like running on me, "How can you do that?" You know, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, one side of my body with my blood was starting to boil. But on the other side, it was like, I was thinking about, man, it's gonna be the end of the month, and I have to pay rent. I have three daughters at home, and I shut my mouth. You know, I mean, what would have happened? Do you think if I started to go toe to toe with this guy? He was angry, you know, and look what the verse says here: calmness can lay great errors to rest. And that's exactly what happened. I did not react. I did not let my emotions, you know, take over. And yes, I just had to bite the bullet. I saw myself a generous slice of pride pie, and I just ate it. I ate my pride, you know. But this is wisdom, you know. Solomon is explaining it to us, right? Do not let your emotions take over. Think about God and you know, God's will. You know, don't do your will, but God's will, God's wisdom, right? Do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great errors to rest. The other thing I see here in these verses is that something that Solomon is trying to tell us. He's pointing out that in this life, not everything is fair. Do you agree? Look at verse 5. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions. Man, isn't this the truth, right? Here you are at work. They hire a new guy. You train them. You show them the ropes. And a few months later, they promote him. And you're like, what? Right? You know, life is not fair. Solomon is telling us. He has seen this happen. Right? And that is also foolishness. Right? And that is another area. It's another pitfall that if we are not wise, we can fall into that pitfall. Right? and ruin our reputation, ruin our testimony. So Solomon is saying, let it go. Do not let unfoolish things or incidents lead you to bad outcomes. Right? Think about it first. What is more important to you? To win an argument and ruin your testimony? Or to be patient and wait on God's justice? Because God does that. You know, God does justice. You know, this incident that happened at that factory when I was working, 2 days later, they discovered the truth. It wasn't me. Wow. The one that made that mistake. I know it, you know. So they realized that it hasn't been me. Do you think they came to apologize? I wasn't expecting an apology. I was just happy that I still had a job, you know. And that God did not allow me to open my mouth, because I can tell you, I have a big mouth. You might not think of it, but I'm very opinionated. And for some reason, I know the reason. You know, God just kept my mouth shut that day. Thank God for that. But life is not fair, and we have to prepare for that, okay? And not let those situations, you know, lead us into foolishness. Solomon is saying, be wise. Wisdom is better than foolishness. My next point, point number three. Speak carefully. Words reflect your character. Not a big one, right? I'm telling you, this message is for me. Yes. Speak carefully. Words reflect your character. Chapter 10, verse 12 and 14 reads like this. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by its own lips. At the beginning, his words are foolish. At the end, they are wicked madness. And the fool multiplies words. Man, how true that is. Have you ever heard a fool talk? Man, they can go on and on and on and on. Just blabbing, you know, senseless stuff. I don't want to be that person. I have been that person in my previous. I was going to say in my previous life, but no. In my early years. Yeah, you know, talking without really thinking about what I'm saying, just to impress people. I mean, I was making a fool out of myself, you know? Yeah. But what a refreshing blessing it is when a person with wisdom gives you words of advice, isn't it? When you're going through a crisis, when you're going through a situation, and you come across a brother that sits down with you and give you words of encouragement. Isn't that sweet? Yes. Oh, my goodness, that is the best. You know, when you're at the pit, or your own poor choices sometimes, amen, or just things that happen to you, you know, you need that wisdom, right? And Solomon is saying words from a wise man's mouth are gracious. You know, and this is the thing that we have to consider, you know, why wisdom is so important, why choosing God's ways is so important, because there is a great need in the body of Christ, right? There's always crises, as we well know, for the recent past, unexpected situations, right? And we all need that wisdom. You know, we have to be ready to go on to each other's side and just give each other words of encouragement. And we have to pursue this wisdom, right? Choose God's way, not our way. We all have said stupid things at times. Words that reveal who we truly are. You know, that's the thing. You know, I've been guilty of that. I've said things that have shown all my flaws in my character. You know, if I'm not careful, you know, with my words. So when you hear people say, they tell you some things and something, they say, I was just kidding. You know, not really. Sometimes they say what's in their heart, you know. Isn't that the truth? So even when you're joking, be careful. Because you're revealing, your words reveal who you are. Matthew chapter 12 says, make a tree good and its fruits will be good. Amen. Or make a tree bad and its fruits will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruits. If out of your mouth comes foolishness, guess what? That's what's in your heart. So you know what comes out of our mouth reveals who we really are. So we have to be careful what we say, right? Very careful. Be wise. Seek God's wisdom, you know, when we talk. You nest of vipers, verse 34 said, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And remember, the Bible says that our heart is leaning to the what? To the evil things, right? That's who we are. That's our nature without God. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 141:3. If I can. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. You know, I treasure this verse because it applies to me so much. You know, old age has a way of damping your spirit in some ways. You know, now I'm not perfect by any way, any length of anything, but I think that my own hurts and my own bad experiences with my mouth led me to pause a little bit more now, you know, and say, is this worth it? You know, is this something that would show God's wisdom coming out of my mouth? You know, and in many times, when I do that, you know, if what I'm about to say it is incorrect, you know, God lets me know, you know, through His Spirit that, hey, you know, calm down. Sometimes I'm, you know, I blow it, you know. Sometimes I don't listen to God. And I go ahead and express whatever is in my mind, which is not good. But it's a process. You know, God is still working in me. And I thank God for that. He's faithful. He's faithful. Wisdom, because wisdom comes from God, wisdom should produce godly behavior in us. Amen. You know, God is a loving God. He's a forgiving God, but He demands obedience from us. Yes. You know, it's not a free ride. You know, He wants us to change. You know, yes, we're broken. We're all broken. You know, we all sin. But He's working in our life daily, the Word says. You know, He's making us into His own image, right, on a daily basis. And we must be keenly aware of that, right? That we have to bring all of our shortcomings before him. Present that respectfully and just tell them, God, you know, I have this temper, you know, in me. I want to control people. I want to control situations. I want to control outcomes. That's not wisdom from you, Lord. Help me. Give me your wisdom. You know, I don't want my will to be done in this situation, but I want your wisdom, right? If you do that, believe me, God is faithful. God will work with you. Excuse me. So sometimes we want to speak without thinking. We do. Just reacting to to perceive attacks. Because sometimes, you know, people is not even attacking us, but we perceive that. That's our take. That's our perception. And we react immediately, right? Without speaking carefully, without, you know, thinking that that will reflect, whatever answer we give will reflect our character. Taking matters under our own control. Solomon is cautioning, you know, he's telling us to pause, right? When we pause before answering, we give our mind and our spirit a moment to think, analyze, ask questions, and wait on God's wisdom before a word comes out of our mouth. So let's practice that. Let's pause. Let's think about it, you know, especially in the body of Christ. Especially in the body of Christ, right? I know we all struggle with this. We all do. So how does this apply to us? Chapter 10, all these verses that we just read. How can we have a practical application for this? Jesus, look at the life of Jesus, right? Jesus had to deal with a lot of foolishness around him, didn't he? But you know, he remained faithful to the Father to the end, didn't he? He was humble. He humbled himself. He was God. He could have easily put down, you know, any criticism, any persecution against him of any of his many of his enemies, but he didn't. He remained quiet and humble before God. So this is my message to you today. Regardless of how many pitfalls you have stepped into, there is forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can come to him today, and receive that forgiveness for all the foolish things you have done in your life. Amen. So think about that. You can come to him today and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my big mouth, my anger, my impatience. Forgive me. There is a God who rescued us from eternal punishment of foolishness. So let's pray. God, we come to you today recognizing that we have all done foolish things, thought foolish things, said foolish things. We have approached situations without wisdom, revealing our character. But today we bring all of that to you. We understand that you were not foolish, but perfect in all that you did, in character and in wisdom. I know that you want to release us from the trap and the snare of foolishness so that we may know freedom and eternal salvation. So thank you, Lord. In your Son's name, amen. Thank you.
Let's worship and respond.